for all those homegrown veggies that Mr. Buchanan was talking about, like he's got going in his backyard now. This year, I just didn't have the time or energy to put one in for summer gardening, but we did have some spare tomato plants that grew wild, and we got some tomatoes off of those. But the fall planting is going to be taking place in the near future. Preparing, planting, weeding, well, maybe not so much weeding, and ultimately harvesting our own vegetables and fruits is a lot of fun. And the end results can actually be quite fantastic. We've got two fruit trees in our backyard. One's a Meyer's lemon, and the other one's a mandarin tree. And after 2 or 3 years in the ground, they started really producing fabulous, fabulous fruit. And it's enjoyable to walk into your backyard, pick a lemon off your tree and juice it or eat it or mandarin or whatever else. So it's been great. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 13 to begin with today. Matthew chapter 13. God's word refers to growing fruits and vegetables from the ground as well. And it utilizes this as an analogy about our spiritual growth in life. Earlier in Matthew 13, the disciples had asked Jesus Christ why he was speaking to the crowds in parables. Christ knew that many of these people were out for a show, quote unquote, and what they could get from Christ's teachings as opposed to really being interested in what he was teaching. And he was not ready for them yet, as it is in God's plans to deal with some now, but most later. And Christ understood this in his ministry. But he did tell the disciples that they could see and understand him here in Matthew 13. We're going to pick it up in Matthew 13, begin reading in verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Men of old and women of old, and even patriarchs of the Bible, had desired to see and hear directly from the Messiah. They really wanted to hear what he had to say. They knew he was coming. And these individuals that Christ was speaking to were witnessing it all, everything. But they couldn't quite grasp the magnitude of what Christ was trying to teach them, including all of his disciples. Let's continue in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower, talking about planting here. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So it's an analogy being made here, showing about the physical side versus the spiritual side. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. He's talking about two different types of individuals hearing about the word of God, hearing about the truth. Over the years, we have seen this very thing with friends and family in the church over the last decades. I mean, it's just some get it, some don't get it, some hear it, and they're with it for a very little period of time, and then they're gone. Some get it, and they're here for a longer period of time, and then they're gone. Trauma with doctrinal issues, twiggy issues, as I call them, and they're all persuasive. And the one that really gets to me most as an elder and as a speaker for decades now is the ones who come up with the quote-unquote new understanding that they have and nobody else knows about. They've made themselves very special in their own mind, and I've met many people like this over the years, and it's really interesting when you start talking to somebody that gets into this frame of mind, you might as well be talking to a habanero pepper. Because you'll get just about as far with it. It just won't work. And that saddens people. It saddens us in the ministry when we see that kind of thing happening. Because they get so worked up about it, and they want everybody else that comes in contact with them to, one, know that they got this new understanding, and two, that they would start agreeing with them. And they work overtime trying to get people to do that. And then people start taking sides in these divisive issues. And we've seen that happen for decades in the church. Let's continue on in verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So in other words, as individuals got it, and it's like this analogy again with the thorns, it gets choked out because of all the nonsense going on in the world around them. And we have been living with nonsense going around about us for the last 4 or 5 years like crazy. And it doesn't appear to be going away. Now, if the election goes one way or another way, we could see a mild change or a minor change for a period of time, but I don't think it's going to be lasting, and I don't think it's going to be deep set either, because there's too much turmoil, way too much turmoil, and too many people have taken too many sides already, and they've got their heels dug in. This verse that we just read here in verse 22 is talking about the pain and the suffering and the difficulties that all of us face from time to time in life. I mean, sometimes it's minor, sometimes it's major, sometimes it's monumental. Even when we've been successful, and then we have these challenges. They come and they go. I mean, we're reminded of that by the death of Mr. Dan Taylor. I mean, it's like this guy had a lot of things going on in his life and everything like this, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. His family's got to deal with that now, and friends have got to deal with that. Christ is pointing out that this kind of stuff in our lives, can actually become a roadblock to our ultimate development as Christians. Verse 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Notice the difference in the quantity of fruit that is yielded. Christ didn't list them as being good, bad, or indifferent. He said they're just different. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's now go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I presume this is the untainted water. There's also a difference in the type of growth that is experienced, as we have probably seen too. Also, the kind of fruit you get from each plant or tree is different. We don't get lemons in our backyard from an apple tree. It doesn't work that way. We don't get tomatoes from a cucumber vine. It doesn't work that way. God knows what he's talking about when it comes to fruit growing and developing, and he's using these analogies to make sure we understand it, spiritually speaking. And then Christ refers to this concept here in Luke chapter 6. Let's pick it up in Luke chapter 6 and verse 43. Luke 6, verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. And then he makes a really interesting statement. A good man, in verse 45, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is a profound statement, spiritually speaking. Christ is trying to point out that we can tell what we or someone else is like by the fruits that are exhibited, including what we do or say, or maybe even how we say it. And we've heard messages similar to this over the years. So what does God, question for all of us, what does God expect from us? First, let's understand something that may or may not apply to us by turning to 1 Corinthians 3. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul will show us that there's an attitude that can prevent us from growing the way God and Jesus Christ expect us to. Right here in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul addresses these issues and how they can hurt our spiritual growth. There used to be a term that we coined in the church many years ago called ministerial shopping or minister shopping. We would search out someone who was more in line with our thinking and then latch on to their guidance and their leadership because we know they're the same mind. Sometimes one minister would be going one direction, sometimes another minister might be going a different direction. Paul dealt with this somewhat as well. Let's begin in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. Paul speaking, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as the spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able." This is a correction if you didn't get it. "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" He's pointing out an attitudinal difference that people can have. Brethren, this is something for all of us to consider at times, and we need to be reminded of it on occasion. Verse 4, "For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one?" Isn't that what they really are? "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." It's not about us. It's about how we allow God to use us, as we heard in the first sermon. "So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters." So don't get all caught up in "I'm this or I'm that or he's this or he's that." That doesn't matter. "But God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor," depending on what he's doing. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." And he said, don't misunderstand that. And remember that. That's who you are. God and Jesus Christ are, in fact, yes, working with us. But our attitudes and our frames of mind get in the way sometimes and prevent God from being able to actually use us. And Paul is essentially saying that when we harbor feelings and attitudes like any of these that we talked about, then we cannot and will not grow spiritually. Folks, it's a fait accompli. It's not going to happen. We can't because we are behaving like carnal-minded people who have not been called. This is what Paul's telling us. You're acting like these stragglers out here, these people that don't have God's Spirit. Okay, let's now go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Get another little different perspective. Let's now take a quick look at what Peter has to say about this subject that we're talking about here today. Peter 2 refers to the concept of being fed milk as newborn babes, like Paul did. We will, however, see a progression and a definite expectation for all of us. Peter also refers to first getting rid of the carnal attitudes and feelings. This we will see is similar to what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 3 that we just read. Peter will start with the basics and then show how we must grow and develop like the fruit of a vegetable plant or tree. Let's begin in 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, evil and envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, when we have experienced the graciousness and mercy of God, it should be stimulus to us to want to grow even more. We need the basics, brethren, and it's all in the foundation we build on and are able to produce really growth. And we've heard about this multiple times. Let's go to 2 Peter 2, verse 3 now, or chapter 3. 2 Peter 2, chapter 3. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians that we eventually must move on to solid food. But we can't really, that can't really happen when we're still in need of what we've been given, the basics of milk. We've got to produce that, use that, utilize that, and grow to a new level before we can even get the other heavy-duty meat. The intent is to begin a spiritual growth that evolves and continues to grow even more through our lives. But here in 2 Peter 3, we will see that all of this leads to an expectation that all of us are expected to attain, no matter where we come from or how long we've been at it. Let's begin in 2 Peter 3 and verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Again, tying it back to the wicked side of life. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen. We are expected to grow, and there's an outcome that is so powerful that it escapes us at times. Paul and Peter are both talking about this. Let's go back to Paul's teaching. Let's go to Ephesians 4 now. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back to Paul's teaching of how this growth can continue and why it is so important for us. Here in Ephesians 4, Paul begins with pointing out that there are different forms of leadership that God has established. We've read about this many times. But all the forms of leadership are expected to produce positive results and growth. In our gardens, sometimes we need to weed. Sometimes we need to water. Sometimes we need to fertilize. It just depends on what stage we're in. Sometimes we even need to thin out the fruits so we can allow for more growth. And sometimes we have to prune, cutting away that which is not producing as well. But it's all intended to produce more growth. Let's begin here in Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's a reason. There's a purpose behind that kind of leadership. And there's an ultimate objective in mind for all of this. Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We've got to start measuring up to what Jesus Christ was. That's the expectation. And all the leadership that has been given to us over the years is designed, or they're expected to produce that kind of fruit in us. This is an enormous responsibility on the leadership itself. But we will soon see it is all-encompassing. It actually involves all of us. It's not just some leaders somewhere. Verse 14, that you should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, every single individual, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is powerful stuff, folks. This is talking about how we are expected to be able to work with one another, contribute to one another by whatever abilities or skills or capabilities we've been given, and doing it not for anything other than love, because we care for each other. How many of you have ever knitted or crocheted or sewn something? Quite a few of us. I know my mother taught me how to crochet, how to knit, and how to sew when I was a kid. What happens when you get to an Afghan quilt that has been crocheted probably, or knitted, who knows, that's been knitted, and one of the strands in the middle of the Afghan quilt gets cut? What'll happen to that Afghan? Eventually, it'll unravel, and you'll have a mess on your hands. Again, we're talking about physical being related to the spiritual. We are all needed and extremely important to the rest. Each of us is playing a special role. Right here in our own congregations, whether it's out there in webcast land or here in Tucson or El Paso, God has called each of us for a reason. And all that God is concerned about on an individual basis is making sure that that reason and purpose is fine-tuned and fully developed by the time Jesus Christ returns. That's what's going on here, in case you didn't figure that out already. God's question for us now is, are we growing? What is happening in our developmental process? Just as our vegetables grow in our garden, we are not all the same. One thing really strikes me about the difference, the quality and the growth of the same vegetable. Let me show you what I mean. But first, let's turn to John 15. John 15. I really like cucumbers. I snack on them all the time. I like to make salads in them or cucumber salad. I love cucumber salad. Sometimes I use sour cream. Sometimes I use salt or vinegar and oil. Let me show you something to consider. Here is a standard cucumber. You can buy this in the grocery store. Some are a little bit bigger, some are a little bit smaller, some are thinner, some are fatter. It's a cucumber. I can make a cucumber salad out of this one cucumber and serve probably two, maybe even three people. Absolutely phenomenal. You can find those in stores almost anywhere you want to go. A couple of these and you have a pretty good cucumber salad for several people. Is this a cucumber? Yes, it is. This is also a full-grown cucumber. It's what's known as a lemon cucumber. It doesn't taste like lemon, it's just that it looks like a lemon when you first cut it. It's got a little different flavor than a regular cucumber, but it's a fraction of the size. If I wanted to have a cucumber salad, I couldn't use just one cucumber. I'd be just, you know, fooling myself. I'd need several of these to be able to feed a couple people. It's because they're so different. Are they cucumbers? Yes, they're both cucumbers. They come from a vine, just like all cucumbers do. If this was all we had planted, we'd need quite a few of them. One wouldn't be sufficient. I love them both. But they, even though they are both cucumbers, they're very different, aren't they? Size, look, even the flavor's a little different. We may all be cucumbers, but we are all different cucumbers. Some of us may actually be pickles, similar to what this can become, a little pickle, or pickling cucumbers that you can buy in the store as well. Let's now look at John 15, and we'll begin in verse 1. Let's take a look at what Christ said about growth as a Christian. 1 John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Just like I mentioned a few minutes ago. Drop down to verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, listen to this, that you bear much fruit. That's how God the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Not just bear fruit, bear much fruit. not just one cucumber on a vine. I want to see multiple cucumbers in various stages that I can continue to eat for weeks, maybe even months, who knows? Drop down to verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Big pause there. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Again, showing us this relationship building that goes on between us, God, and Jesus Christ. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This correlation is phenomenal. That's one of the reasons why I've just enjoyed vegetable gardening all my life almost. Not just that we grow and bear fruit, but that it remains. Why? So it can add more value to others. Just like Mr. Buchanan is doing today. He's adding value to others by bringing bags of these peppers together for those who want them. That's how you pass along the value. Turn now to Psalm 92. Psalms 92. Get close. This fruit we produce and exhibit is the substance or evidence of God's Spirit working within us. It's the proof that we are allowing God to work in us, and that he is working with us. Here in Psalm 92, we'll take a look at David's perspective on this subject as well. Psalm 92 is actually called the Song for the Sabbath Day, called a Song for the Sabbath Day. Might be good to read the whole Psalm 92 later today when you get home. Let's begin in Psalm 92 and verse 12. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and nourishing. It doesn't matter how old or young we are. That's immaterial. Bearing fruit is what is expected and, quite honestly, what is needed. What kind of growth is possible? I can't say sure for any one of us, but if my cucumber options are any example to the potential, it could be substantial. But we're all different, some pickle size, some salad size. As we get ready to close, let's go to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. And as I'm using this analogy, there is even more of a wide variety of cucumbers available. This too is a cucumber. It's more than twice the size of this one. This one cucumber, I could feed a lot of people on if I cut it up and made it into a cucumber salad. This is a cucumber, this is a cucumber, and this is a cucumber. All look different. The size is all different. The flavor is even just slightly different for all of them, but we're all cucumbers. And that's all that really matters, if that's what we're after. The exact same analogy is true with God and Jesus Christ. The size of the fruit and the variety of the fruit is very obvious when you look at these. We too are all different, but we do have the opportunity for growth in our lives. And it's going to be different, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. It doesn't matter. Preparing for God's chosen purpose. But we have to be able to grow to achieve that purpose. Let's take a look here at Matthew 3 and see something else that John the Baptist pointed out as he preached about Jesus Christ. Let's actually begin in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." I really like the way the New Testament Modern English Translation by J.B. Phillips puts verse 8 of Matthew 3. This is how it reads. "Go and do something to show that your hearts are really changed." That it comes only from spiritual growth, folks. And that's what we're talking about. We can't rely on anyone or anything for our fruits or our growth. It is our character combined with what we learn and inspired by God's Spirit to develop and grow in grace and knowledge, like Peter talked about. It is what we are here for now, brethren. We may be a pickle or a full-grown cucumber, but we can all grow to full maturity. Have a great Sabbath.